If you want a title for it, I guess it's called The Anchor. And we all need an anchor. We were just singing about that a few moments ago. And hopefully you have something to moor your life to. And this life is filled with all sorts of things, and we hopefully have something to hold on to. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says this, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Father God, again, we come before you tonight, and we ask for your grace tonight. We ask for your mercy as we look into the word of Christ, that you will make these things known. You know that in and of ourselves we cannot understand the word of Christ, for these things are spiritually discerned. And Lord, that you would just make them known to us. Lord, that you would encourage those who need encouraging, that you would bind up the wounded. And Lord God, that you would bring those who do not know thee as Savior, Lord, into the haven of rest, that they would find rest for their souls. For you have promised in your word that if we come to you, we will find rest for our weary souls. For this world is a weary place. And Lord, we look to thee for all our rest and our peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Webster says, in a figurative sense, an anchor is that which gives stability or security, that on which we place dependence for safety. In our lives, in whatever life that you have, I don't know what God has afforded you, we know that there are storms, that there are ups and downs, that there are turmoils, there are problems. Job said, man is born to trouble as the what? Sparks fly upward. And there seems to be a lot of sparks flying up these days, amen? And I know if you live in this world, and I'm sure you do because you're here, look around and see the turmoil that the world is falling into. The political situations, hopefully you're not anchoring your soul into the political party of your choice. And I'm not trying to knock political parties. They knock themselves about much more than I could ever do. But we understand that doesn't give you any sense of stability. You say, well, I voted for this guy. You find a little bit later he's a crook. Or maybe you voted for this person, they get voted out the next term, and somebody else. And you ever watch or you ever hear the House of Commons? Yeah, did you ever try to do that? It isn't common. You've got these people going, you know, and they're battering on things and they're heckling each other. And you think, wow, what a bunch of kids. Can you imagine a government actually working like that? I guess it does. But if you're putting all your hopes into the political aspirations of this country, you are sadly mistaken. Maybe you're put your hopes on the fluctuating dollar, and you don't want to do that because that goes ups and downs too. What about a relationship? And people all put all their hopes into relationships they have. Look, the sad part about that is that relationships are temporal. Okay, they don't last forever. You say, there is one relationship that does last forever. We'll get to that in a little bit. But a relationship that we have on this earth, and you say, well, I really, really, you know, I appreciate this person. Well, that person can change. That person can disappoint you. That person may be the most wonderful person you've ever met. And some young people, they get a real problem. You take a look at what's going on with young people, and they think, wow, you know, I've been bitten by the love bug, and you know what the end of that one is. Yeah. They find out that it was only a louse. Yeah. Folks, the love bug isn't all it's cracked up to be. What happens when the warm fuzzies go away? Well, it's replaced by other things. You say, well, that's not a very positive. Well, outside of Jesus Christ, you're going to have problems. Inside Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you're going to have problems. But we have an anchor. Technology. What about technology? We can put our hopes and fear, you know, and trust in the technology of man. We're getting better. I have a phone that I don't know how to use. I've graduated from having a watch I don't know how to use. And then I got smart and I got one of these watches that just has the little hands that go around like this. And that's all I got to do is I got to look at it and say, look, that's the time. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't sing. It doesn't dance. It doesn't text message me. It doesn't send emails. It doesn't do all those wonderful things. It's just a watch. I like it like that. I want to keep one just like that. I want it nice and simple. I want to look down and be able to tell the time. I don't want to know the time in Tokyo. I just want to know the time right here. And folks, don't worry. I don't pay attention to the time right here anyway, so it's okay. That's all right. You know that. That's why I like it simple. It doesn't go beep, beep or anything like that. Technology changes quickly. When I was a kid, the Commodore 64 was the absolute ultimate in home computing. Does anybody even remember what a Commodore 64? Yeah, okay, yeah, a few people who, you know, and I spent hours and hours and hours programming this thing. I thought if I could just program this thing, it's just going to be great. And I programmed it, and I spent the entire day typing in a program from a magazine. And you know what the thing did? It did a little graph. I thought, it? It doesn't do anything else? All right, it took a little bit more brains than I had to run the thing. I went back to having the watch, amen. I just said, oh, that computer was too much. Well, now technology changes. By the time you buy something, it's out of date. I mean, when you tell somebody on the phone, they say, well, how old is your computer? They said, well, I said, I just got the thing. Well, when did you get it? Well, I said, I only got it like 2 years ago. 2 years? It's an antique! You know, and they got that little, you know, how old are you, buddy? I'm 14. And, you know, you think, oh, this is just great. Technology changes. And what happens when the power goes out? Ooh. All those people who are just... You know, they're connected. They're not connected anymore. Things have changed. Well, hopefully you aren't putting your faith and trust in technology. But the Bible speaks of something, of somebody that can be trusted. And there is a hope that is sure and steadfast. I'm going to look tonight as we look at the anchor. And there's a few things about the anchor I want to note. And note, first thing I want you to note, it's a saving anchor. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in faith alone, it doesn't get you anywhere. You say, well, I can have faith. Faith doesn't save anybody. You say, well, I can have faith in this chair, but if the chair isn't trustworthy, my faith is misplaced. People can have faith in the stock markets, and the stock markets can fluctuate. You need to have the proper thing to put your faith upon. For it to mean anything. A lot of people have faith in the wrong thing. People say, I got faith in my religion. I'm very religious. I memorize scripture or I go to a catechism and I do this and I do that. And I was baptized maybe as a baby or sprinkled or whatever, or sneezed on or whatever. Anyway, and you do lots of things and people, don't get me wrong, Baptists do this too. They say, well, I've been washed in the tub, so I'm all right. If you have your faith placed in a religion, your faith is misplaced. Because we are not redeemed with corruptible things. And that little chunk of bread that people eat, that's corruptible. It rots. Wait a minute, I give my money into the collection plate. That is corruptible. Silver and gold is corruptible. But I do good deeds, they're corruptible. The Bible says they're filthy rags. If you're putting your faith in your religion won't do. Yeah, but my religion, you know, we have a great building. Buildings don't last. What are you putting your faith upon? Hopefully your faith can be placed upon something that's sure, that saves. Faith in our good works will not work either. Maybe you have faith in your goodness. Give me 5 minutes with you. I'll be annoying. Give you 5 minutes with a crying child and you'll start to think about your goodness. All the goodness that you've stored up over the years may be gone in a few moments. Goodness, your own goodness. Be serious. Be serious enough to really look at yourself. The next time that you hit your thumb with a hammer. Or that you fall into a nasty situation. Your goodness dries up. When frustration comes around, you say, well, it was the situation that made me bad. No, the situation just revealed what was there. Squeezing a lemon, yeah, that doesn't make it sour. It just reveals the sourness. Well, folks, faith and just hoping it will all turn out in the end. You know, a lot of people are like that. They just hope that things will turn out. You ask people, well, do you believe that, what will happen in the end? Well, I believe it will all work out. Why? Well, I just kind of hope that it would. Based on what? Well, based on, I just really hope that it's gonna. That doesn't even sound logical. You're putting all your faith and all your trust and you're anchoring your soul into, I'm really, really, really hoping it's gonna turn out. The Bible says that that's a foolish way to think. Well, I'm trusting my heart. The Bible says that those who trust in their heart, you're a fool. I didn't call you a fool, God did. But if you're short on that, I'll agree with God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Jesus Christ, not religion. God Himself is the Creator. There is a Creator. There is a God. Whether you like to admit it or not, there is a God. He is the one that made the earth. He is the King. He has set the boundaries. He is the Judge. He is the one that we need to know. And He wants us to know Him. And He wants to give us a gift. Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Hey, say, friend, say, well, look, all religions are the same. The Bible says that there's one way to heaven. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you believe what you want. God wrote this and God said this is the way it is. And you say, well, I'm going to argue with that. Well, you can argue with God, but I wouldn't advise it because He's a lot smarter than you are. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, our lives need something to be anchored to. Boats who aren't anchored or aren't moored float about. They're tossed to and fro. They don't have any, they better be going somewhere because if they're not going somewhere, they're just going to drift. We need an anchor. We need a mooring. Hebrews says this, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yet there is hope within the veil, in a place we can't see. Within the veil is heaven. There is a hope. There is a sure anchor. You know, the Bible says that it's a sure anchor. Steadfast and sure. It's promised by God. It's trustworthy. The anchor that I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. The anchor that I'm talking about bites into a rock. Not only is an anchor of a necessity that the anchor comes in and maybe it hits upon sandy soil and it just drags through the sand. You need the anchor to bite into something, to take a hold into something. And that, my friend, is what God says. It bites into the rock. And the rock is God Almighty. It's moored in the Bible, in the person of God. It says in our scripture reading tonight that by two immutable things, two things that can't not be changed. Two things that are absolute, and you're wondering if there's any absolutes, and I heard people say, well, there are no absolutes. Yeah, exactly. Right? I think you just made an absolute. Two immutable things that God says that you can be sure of. The anchor is based upon two immutable things. What are those two immutable things? The person of God and the Word of God. The person of God in which it was impossible, says our text, for God to what? God can't lie. God can't lie. I can lie. You can lie. We can lie all we want and the world is famous. We're liars. Satan lies. He's the father of it. But God has never, ever, ever told a lie. So if God says something, it is absolutely rock solid true. You can believe it. It's, if God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because it's God said it. If God said something's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. It's just the way it is. If God makes a promise to you, you can be sure God will keep the promise. Whether you keep your end of the bargain up or not, God can be trusted. The person of God, He's a holy God, He's a righteous God, He's a true God. Titus says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The hope of eternal life is for you and for me, and it's sure. God made the promise. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Thy word is truth. And when He makes a promise, the promise is backed up by His unfailing, unflinching character. When I make a promise, you can only trust my promise as far as my character goes. And my character might not be that good. But God's character is pure. So if He makes a statement, that statement is backed up by His character. That's a good character. You can trust that character. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's a good promise. But I'm too bad to be saved. He can save to the uttermost. Whosoever will. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Can you count on that one? Has God ever left you? If you're saved here tonight, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an anchor that holds you tight, that you can look to, and you can count on. God said He'd never leave me. God said He'd never forsake me. I can hold on to that in the times of the greatest trials. And it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed for trusting in Christ. You'll never be ashamed for trusting in Christ. He's hope. He's life. A lot of people say, well, I don't know, I'd be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of God. If God's not ashamed to call you His brethren, you shouldn't be ashamed of God. Our faith has found an anchor. It's anchored into the rock of God, for He is the rock of salvation. It's no shifting sand that we anchor into. Can I tell you that God has extended His hands to all of us in salvation? God stretched forth His hand and He said, come, come, whosoever would you come? God has said that and He means it. God doesn't say things He doesn't mean. Let the bride say come, the spirit say come, and he who is athirst, let him come. Promises that have never failed is the other immutable thing, because they come from the character of God. You can trust His word. This book is absolutely trustworthy. This book you can trust. There's not an error. There's not a problem. The errors and the problem are with us, not with God. Not with God's word. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You can trust that for your salvation. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me give you another couple verses here that I think are important for you tonight. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to do what? What more do you need? God said that one. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. I am powerless. You're right. I'm helpless. Correct. Hopeless. Not quite. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Salvation's door is open. For God so loved the world that he gave what? You know that one from childhood. It's a good verse to teach the children. It's a good verse to teach the older. It's a good verse to teach anybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Salvation is just that simple. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. There's that born again thing. Unto a lively hope, a living hope, a hope that's alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a promise. To my inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, it's reserved in heaven. It's good. It's a good thing he put the last part of this in, because where I'm kept not by my own power or by my own goodness, heaven forbid, but I'm kept by the power of God. That's a sure anchor. That's an anchor that's absolutely sure and trustworthy. The anchor of faith is based in the Word of God. He offers salvation to those who will repent, turn from their sin, and turn unto God. The promise is secure. It's never failed. It is a steadfast anchor. It's immutable. It means it never changes. God's never changed his mind on salvation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's unalterable. The covenant that he's proposed and given is written in blood. You can't alter the covenant. You know, a lot of people try to alter the Word of God. I don't like that. They get in there and they try to fiddle around with things, and that's not of God. But you can't alter that, because you can't alter the covenant. You can't alter the covenant that God has given. God's covenant is sure. It's absolute. It's immutable, unchangeable. When he enters into a covenant with us, he will not change his mind later and say, "Well, I forgot to tell you there was the fine print." You ever see some of that fine print? I was looking at a advertisement in the paper the other day, and it talked about this car with 0% financing and all this. And it had these two little asterisks. I thought, "What's that?" And I looked down at the bottom, and all these really wee little print. You almost had to get a magnifying glass out and look at it. And it has this exception and that exception and this and that and the other thing and all these other little catchphrases in there. There's no fine print. God's up front. He's honest. He'll tell you everything and say, "This is what you need. This is what I'll do. You come to me with your dirty, filthy rags. You fall on your face before me. You ask me for salvation and I'll give it." Because Jesus Christ paid for your sin at the cross of Calvary in full. It's unalterable. Salvation's not going to change. You can't come later and say, "Well, I want to get saved a different way." God's not going to make an exception for you. You can't come to God and say, "Well, I think I want to alter the covenant." It's unalterable. It transcends time because he was slain from the foundation of the world. God is not fickle, but sure. It is immutable, unchanging, solid, and steadfast. 1 Peter says this, "Who are kept by the power of God." Remember that? Isaiah says this, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth,
but the word of our God shall stand forever. When the buildings of this age crumble, like the buildings of the other ages have crumbled, and they will, God's word will still be true. When all the technology that we have, when that little telephone that you have is going to be laughed about in 3 years, maybe if the world lasts that long. But anyway, they look and say, oh, you've got one of those dinosaurs. You know something? God's word's still going to be true. The flower fades. The grass withers. But God's word will stand forever. It's sure. It's steadfast. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Ain't going to change. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be able to come back and say, well, there, I guess that changed. Oh, that was different. Oh, rats. I can't count on that promise anymore. It doesn't change. Forever, thy word is settled in heaven. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said he would preserve his word. You can trust that kind of word, amen? God's not going to change his mind on it. God's written it down. God's given it to us. It's sure. It's steadfast. It's immutable. You can trust it. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Did you know that he magnifies his word above his name? Now that's something to think about. It's a steady anchor. You know, this kind of anchor keeps us from drifting. In Acts chapter 27, when Paul was in the storm Euroclydon, it says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They cast out 4. Never mind just 1, they cast out 4. They wanted to keep from going onto the rocks. You know, the anchor of Jesus Christ will keep you from going onto the rocks. It will steady your life. You have something to hold. This isn't just a pie in the sky by and by. This is now. Through the times of sorrow that you have faced, when you can't even get up in the morning without being faced right there with your sorrow and your hurt and your despair, and you know, as a human being, you face some of those sorrows and those heartaches and some of the things that are overwhelmed. And the Bible talks about being overwhelmed. Thy billows have come over me. When you face something like that, how do you face that? Well, by the strength of my own character, by my goodness, shifting sand. But I'm glad I can come because I'm too weak. I'm too weak. I need to come to him. People say that Christianity is a crutch. It's more. He's got to carry me the whole way. It's not just a crutch. It's a crutch for the weak. He has to pick me up completely because I'm too weak for even a crutch. And if you want to boast about your own strength, you go ahead. I submit to you that you need an anchor that steadies your life. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. There are a lot of contrary waves and wind today. Does life always go your way?
No.
If it does, come talk to me. I want to know your secret. Life doesn't always go your way. Sometimes the winds are contrary. Sometimes they're downright nasty. What do you do? What do you look to? What do you hold on to? The Bible says you can have an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Steadies our life amid the storms, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You don't got to trust me. You don't got to trust what I'm saying. You don't got to trust what some guy in a sparkly jacket says. You don't got to trust anybody unless it lines up with this. And when they're talking the Word of God, you can say, amen. I trust that. That's right. It lines up. It's true. It's a steady anchor and it steadies us. We're not tossed by every wind of doctrine that comes about. You know, when the wind of different winds of doctrine that come about and all the newfangled things they have, and by the way, there's nothing new under the sun. Anybody comes up with these new ideas, I can go to my Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, this is what God says. I don't care what your new doctrine says. I don't care what man's theology says. That's a big problem, by the way. You want to get rid of the man's theology. That's just nothing but trouble. This is the best theology, God's theology. Too many people get fallen into that trap. They need to get back to the anchor. It's a secure anchor, which entereth into that within the veil. You know where our hope is anchored? Heaven. And the rope's getting shorter, amen? Time and tide is carrying you along, carrying me along. Whether we like it or not, time carries us all towards the distant shore. I hope that you're moored and you have an anchor, that you have a safe harbor and a safe haven. It's a secure anchor. Did you know that the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom and the way of life stood open because God opened up the Holy of Holies? The Jew and Gentile could come alike into the throne room of God. Come boldly under the throne of grace that you may find help in time of need. You know what the throne of grace is? The mercy seat. We have access not just to the mercy seat that is on earth. We don't need that mercy seat. That's just a box. We have access to a mercy seat within the veil. Because we have an high priest who daily maketh intercession for us. He's making intercession for our lives. He loves us. He's waiting for us to come. And he's not just saying, you're not just saying, well, when I get there, he'll be part of my life. He's part of your life now. He's the anchor. It's the very throne room of heaven itself. The anchor is tied. Throne of God, and we are steadily getting closer as a child of God. We are steadily going there. If your anchor is the world, I pity you. Matthew says this, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, says Hebrews, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The anchor is moored in heaven. Amen. Ephesians says this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you notice that? That he's raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places. You say, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God? The Son does. But if you're in the Son, there's where you sit. There's your position. Now that's an amazing position to have. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. Someday I will be saved from the presence of sin. The power of sin has been broken. The power of sin is the law. And he's fulfilled the law for me. And I go into the veil. By the way, I can go there anytime. We went there tonight and ask him.
Because we can go right into the throne room of God. We can go right to the mercy seat itself. And you say, you couldn't go there in the Old Testament. Not everybody could go in. That's right. In the Old Testament, they had big walls of fine twine linen which speak of the righteousness of God. You couldn't look over, you couldn't go under, you couldn't go through, and it was a big sign, basically, that said, keep out! Don't go in. Don't go into the Holy of Holies. You go in there, you'll be smitten dead. And the high priest went in once a year, and he was carrying the blood. And he sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. And upon the floor where he stood. We have a better covenant. We have a better blood. Because Jesus Christ, this is the Bible, he went into the Holy of Holies and he presented his own blood. And you know, we can have a standing today, not based upon my own goodness, not on my own demands. I can come into the throne of God and have that standing with God, not based upon anything I do, but based upon what he has done. The blood of Jesus Christ is my standing before the mercy seat of God. That's the anchor that I have my faith and trust in. That's that you have your faith and trust in. I trust that you do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior here tonight, can I tell you that you can have an anchor that is sure and steadfast and that goes within the veil? Now, our text again, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. Let me encourage you who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. Hey, have you laid hold on the hope? Have you laid hold on the hope? Because when you lay hold on the hope lays hold on you. And that's a wonderful feeling to have God grab a hold of you. Lay hold upon the hope that's set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Father God, again, we thank thee for thy wonderful grace. And Lord God, as we have gathered here tonight, Lord, we need to know thee. We need to know thee as our Savior, not because some preacher said so, but because your word, which is immutable, unchangeable, has said so. Your character has said so. But I want to thank you that you offer that to anybody. Lord, help us not to put up all the other things that we could talk about. The issue is whether we're saved or lost. Whether we know thee or whether we don't. Not knowing about thee. Lord, knowing about thee is not good enough, for even the devils know about you and they tremble. But Lord, salvation is entering into that blessed covenant, trusting you with everything. Saying, oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me, I pray. Lord, that you'd make that clear. Lord, the saints of God who are tonight, we are not saints because we are saintly. We are saints because you have given by the blood of Jesus Christ and put us at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, that we can trust in that anchor to steady our lives. We know that we have an anchor of the soul. Lord, put your hand upon us, we pray. Guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.